Hey, you found me, and I'm so glad you did. I have a lot of fun over here at A Juicy Pear Podcast. I love interviewing people from all walks of life, and I especially like what makes a person tick. I ask the questions that people want to hear. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey, this is Wendy, and you are listening to A Juicy Pear Podcast, and I'm very excited about my guest today. His name is Ken McMullen, and he has the podcast called Becoming Outlaws, True Stories of Divine Encounters. Hey, Ken.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm excited. I've been listening to yours, and I'm a little taken back. I don't know if I can compete with Mothman and super fascinating things.
Oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite episodes. And the guy invited me down to Point Pleasant, West Virginia next year for the Mothman Festival. And, you know, he's going to take me to all the different like places down there. And I'm super excited. I don't know why, but yeah, that is one of my favorite episodes.
Do you know if they have people give stories about Mothman? Do people dress up as Mothman?
I think they do it all. I think, you know, because it was such a, it was such a huge thing that happened. It was like in the 60s for people listening, you know, it was like during, I think it was 1967. And this huge bridge collapsed over the River Ohio. It was like 2 weeks before Christmas, I feel. And it was just loaded with traffic and lots of people died. But for months beforehand and after the incident, people were seeing this thing. Weird stuff was happening in the town, like they were seeing UFOs, men in black. I mean, the whole thing, it was just very strange. And it wasn't just dozens of people. It was hundreds of accounts, So yeah, very intriguing, very interesting story.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah. So yeah, that was one of my favorite things. But
speaking of weird, let's talk about me.
Yes. Yes. This is why you're here. I want to talk about you and I want to talk about your podcast. So you told me just off recording that you just started 4 months ago, but you have all these amazing people on your show.
Crazy.
Yeah. Tell us about your podcast.
I know. Where are they coming from? Well, I have I think it was just a bunch of things came together. So, you know, there's maybe you do know. I actually don't know how many podcasts are out there, like a bazillion.
Many.
Yeah. I mean, anybody with a phone and an app can start talking and post it to the world. And then there's podcasts that go all the way up to like a Dateline NBC. And it's this huge production. It's really, television on radio that to me isn't even podcast world. It's radio world on a podcast format. But as far as what we're doing, there's always room to expand, obviously, but I think mine kind of, it shouldn't be where it is after that short amount of time, as far as the regular trajectory or the kind of guests I'm getting, but a really unique topic, a niche, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's a combination of things. I mean, I do professional marketing now, but back in the day when I was a youngster, I was all about broadcasting. So I had done almost a decade of like radio and television, old school broadcasting.
That helps tremendously.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole new world as far as the technology, but being in marketing for companies, I'm up on what's going on and learned how podcasts work and this and that. And then how it came about and all came together is for work, I was interviewing. Well, actually, if you don't mind the story,
sure.
It's a pretty interesting one. So this came about, actually, I was up and running with a podcast 10 days after I decided to do one. And
oh, goodness sakes.
Because of this. So when the new Elvis movie came out, I took my parents who haven't, I don't think my dad's been to a movie in like a decade or two decades. I have no idea. But I took a day off and they were willing to go see the Elvis movie. They're that generation. And while I was watching it, I see one of the characters in it, Jimmy Roger Snow, the son of Hank Snow, who worked with Colonel Parker. If people saw the movie or know anything about Elvis history, they would know who Hank Snow was. He was like, the biggest country star internationally in the world at that time. And he's on this tour being managed by Colonel Parker, who became Elvis's manager. Hank Snow and Colonel Parker were both supposed to be Elvis's manager.
Okay.
And Hank was, his son was Jimmy, and who had a RCA recording contract, was touring. Then Elvis came on the tour and was kind of an unknown at the time, but became fast friends with Jimmy Snow. And, for several years. Fast forward to 1995-ish, I was living in Nashville and I ended up working with and getting to know Jimmy Roger Snow.
Oh, wow.
Pretty well for about a year. He used to close a show every Friday night on the Grand Ole Opry called the Grand Ole Gospel Time. And he would have singers who were like on the Opry that night, if they wanted to stay on and do some like faith gospel stuff. And then he would do a little sermon at the end, and that would close the Opry every Friday night for like 30 years or so.
Wow.
And so he was kind of considered the pastor of the stars of that era. Anyway, I hadn't been in touch with him since then. So however long that is, a long time. But when I saw the movie, I actually was thinking, I wonder how he's doing. Is he okay? Is he alive? He wasn't a youngster then. So anyways, out of curiosity, I find him and I connect on LinkedIn of all things. And we reconnect after all those years. And I'm like, hey, you want to come on this podcast I do for work, which had nothing to do with faith issues or paranormal or anything. But he told this most amazing story that I got goosebumps of how he went from an RCA recording artist soon after that movie would have taken place when he was still young to becoming a preacher because of a divine encounter, basically. I don't know if you use those words, but it was that kind of story. For 63 years, he says, from that day on, I've been doing the same thing. I've got this mission to do because of this encounter, and I'll do it till the day I die.
Wow. That's amazing.
Now, and he's still on, he's on cable television doing Bible teachings and whatever. He's still at it. He was even invited to hang out at Graceland for weeks at a time. He was going to be in possibly the King Creole movie that was about to come out with Elvis. He turned it all down and changed the whole direction of his life because of an experience he had.
Wow.
And I thought that people need to hear that. And I can't play that for my work.
Right. Right. That's amazing. Well, can you say, I mean, if you want to just sort of say a little bit, do you want to talk about his divine encounter? What was the thing that did it for him?
Episode one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. And you can hear it on my episode one. But I'll tell you is, so both stories together and telling you is, I thought, you know what? I know how to do podcasts. I was paying a podcast studio to do one that I would host at work. And I've got this empty room at home and I have media experience. And even since my media experience, I've booked tons of speakers, tons of guests for live events or speaking to groups. And I just kind of got a knack at how to get through to people to see if they'll come to something. So anyways, I said, you know what? I'm just going to, I don't know, see what it'd be like to do my podcast. And I take a room that should have been a dining room in my house. So if anybody watches the podcast, you can see it right now. But it had wood floors. It's terrible for anything audio. But, you know, I revamped the room. I've got all kinds of soundproofing things all around me now. And, you know, I did lighting or whatever. So I built it myself. It was kind of fun.
Cool.
And then I just, my first episode, if people watch it, it's called Presley to Purpose. And I basically just came on like this by myself. And I said, hey, I know this guy. And I gave a briefer story of how I met him and who he is. And his life's fascinating. I actually have a couple hours of him telling other stories besides this one. Johnny Cash's conversion he was involved with.
Wow.
And that's an upcoming one I'll do one day just from this footage I have that I haven't used of him that I taped. It's stories I do have on this podcast where when he was young, they're from Canada. His dad came over doing country music and got hired in a bar in Texas. And the bar owner loved him and was kind of like a stepdadish work dad to him, kind of played with him, gave him things to do. And he would sing on stage as a little cute kid in cowboy clothes. Turns out to be Jack Ruby, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, my word. Oh, my gosh. Kennedy. 6 degrees of separation there. Oh, my word.
His life is so interesting to listen to. His story was that he's young. He's got a recording contract with RCA, his dad's most popular singer in country music in the world, a member of the Grand Ole Opry, which is a super big deal back in that time. Mm-hmm. Was supposed to be the manager of Elvis Presley, but the colonel snookered him out of that one.
Okay.
And everything was going good for him. He was, this doesn't sound like a cool thing, but it was in the, back in the day that he had just been on the Lawrence Welk show where there's,
the Lawrence Welk show. I remember.
That sounds so dumb now, but in the, 50s, that was a big deal.
That was a huge deal. Yeah.
So he was on the trajectory up. However, he's involved in heavy, heavy drinking and miserable and depressed, which you find out about a lot of people's lives, you know.
Sure.
We would call it now people's Facebook lives or social media lives versus, you know, their reality.
Right.
So he had a pre-Facebook phase. He had a nice outward career going and personally miserable, you know. And I think a lot of that comes from just people not being grounded spiritually or what right. real purpose is. And I think you'll find it's a story over and over again with celebrities. You're like, what's the deal with them? They have everything. Well, they don't. You know, us yahoos think, well, I've got a hole in me somewhere. Life's got to be more than this. Well, it must be success. And we always have all these rings of success to think, well, it must be there. But these people, when they hit it, they're like, nope, that wasn't it.
Still not happy. Still not happy.
Still
looking and searching and trying to figure out what will fill up that hole that's in their soul. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long story short, he tells the story of asking this girl out to go to the drive-in movie, and the Ten Commandments was out, and she wanted to see it. Remember with Charlton Heston?
I love that one. Yes, we watch it every Easter. Yeah.
This was when it was at the theater.
Okay.
Apparently, you know, not just at Easter on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
And he has other things in mind than watching a movie, and he sure doesn't want to watch the Ten Commandments with his pursuits. She insists, and he's really irritated because she actually is watching the movie. So he gives up on his other endeavors and begins to watch the movie just at a point. And the episode would say, I don't remember exactly, but apparently Charlton Heston as Moses says something, and I don't remember what it was, but it struck him about God and God's purpose in our life, or the call that Moses had that he needs to fulfill or whatever.
Yeah.
And it struck something deep in him that shook him up a little bit. And I don't know the time sequence, but it's within a week or a couple of days or whatever, where he's struggling now with direction of his life. He ends up, his moment of truth is leaves his home bedroom. He's still living with his parents, goes out in the yard at night, and he puts a revolver in his mouth.
Oh.
And he just wants to end life because of this inner turmoil he's having.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But this Charlton Heston movie thing still struck him as maybe there is purpose.
Gave him a little bit of hope.
So he does a dramatic, he's on his knees with a pistol cocked into his mouth.
Oh, wow.
Situation, even though he has the whole world ahead of him. RCA recording contract.
Yeah, how old was he about that time?
I think he's about 23, if I remember correctly. Something like that. And Elvis, you know, he's only like 20-ish, I think, or whatever, back in those days. So he does one of these, and the more stories I do, the more they become a little similar. Maybe not that dramatic, but there becomes a moment sometimes of, God, if you're real, now's the time to let me know.
Right.
Because I'm done. And it doesn't have to come to that, but it does come to, what does it take a human to say, God, are you real?
Yeah.
If you are, I'm willing to go that direction. And it seems these stories are interesting to me. That's all I really do. I feel like I don't really host a podcast. I just listen to people tell stories. But he didn't hear a voice from heaven, but something struck him internally. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to go listen to it.
He had an epiphany.
He had an epiphany, and it was more than an epiphany. And in these stories, it becomes like when you hear, let's say, near-death story, out-of-body experiences, people that were, they all become pretty similar.
Yeah.
They become a floating above the body. I'm going towards a light. It was so peaceful. The more stories I hear about like this kind of encounter or transformation, they really can't put it into words other than it always comes out as, whether it was a moment or within a week of time, there was like something came over me where like the light bulbs went on. I could understand the world for the first time, my place in it. I felt joy for the first time. I felt complete peace. It was like, and I've heard this several times, it was like somebody took the dark sunglasses off and I could see everything. First time I noticed the birds chirping. I didn't really notice the grass was green. I was looking forward to the day and not dreading a day. They all have that in common. And then they're not all physical, but some are. They'll try to explain that I just felt some kind of wave of energy outside and within me go through my body. And I just knew then that God had entered my life in some real way, and my life's never been the same. And that's pretty much kind of what his story is. And he just went right in. He actually like walked back in the house, told his mom he's going to be a preacher.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. He had a moment of clarity there. Something intervened, an angel or something in his soul or something, obviously, a power bigger than himself said, listen, you know, this isn't it for you. We have plans for you. Something gave him hope, sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty much, that's what set, and I think what took us off, there's a long way to say what took us off podcast pretty fast, is it's that combination. Mm-hmm. Is I'm like, people need to hear that. And yes. So I thought it out. I wrote out a little thing. I made a website and I put on a page on the website and on Facebook. I opened up a page and basically said, you know, I've lived an interesting life and I've met some interesting people and I've heard some pretty amazing stories. And I'm just going to share them with those of the people who are willing to talk about them on a microphone. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to sit and listen to them again and let other people hear these stories and not just me. And then maybe along the way, I'll meet some new people and hear some new stories.
Well, and it's so much fun.
The whole thing.
It's so much fun. I've met the most interesting, fun people in podcasting. I actually had to take a class in podcasting, though. I wasn't like you were like off and running in 10 days. Yeah. No, I had to take a class.
Right.
But then again, you know, I had a degree in communications, but I didn't really use it up till that point. And I, you know, I didn't, wasn't in radio or anything like that. And I didn't feel like Googling and YouTubing every single question I had for hours and hours on end. So I'm like, okay, I'll take this class. It was fantastic. And it helped get me up and running. And it's been so much fun. It's just like, it's very, I just love it. It's like a mini TED talk, you know, it's very intimate. People share with you just really heartwarming, interesting, and shocking sometimes stories. And it's just a nice getaway from the realities of the world, right? Because everything's so chaotic and everything is just so busy all the time. And if someone would take the time and just sit and listen, you can learn so much from podcasting too.
And there's something for everyone. Mm-hmm. Broadcasting is exactly what the word is. It's so broad that, you know, you might have it on broadcasting in the background, have some like morning show on so you don't getting ready for work so you don't feel alone or something, but it's so generic and that it becomes just this bland thing.
Yeah, I don't even watch news anymore, to be honest with you. And I didn't think I'd ever get to that point, but I just got so sick of it. I was so sick of the incessant negativity and, you know, so my podcast, I started it during the pandemic. And because I wanted something, you know, there's this big looming gray cloud and it just wasn't going away. And I'm like, okay, I'm a creative person. I want to be positive. I want to make something that's going to be positive. So that's kind of what kind of got me into podcasting, but it's been very fun. But yeah, I don't try not to listen to the news because I just don't care for it. Like maybe for news, like for weather or something, just for like a quick couple minutes, I'm like, oh, nope, I'm done. I turn it because I'm done.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Podcasting. I mean, you could have just a certain breed of dog you're interested in. And that's the whole group of people who listen to that or whatever. So
I didn't niche down my podcast. I don't know what your opinion. Maybe I should, but I just, because there's just so many different things I like, you know, I love talking to celebrities, entrepreneurs. I have like a mental health segment. I have a lot of spirituality people on. I love the paranormal. Awesome, so, you know, there's just different, and I didn't want to niche it down. I love interviewing singers too. So it's like, okay, well, what if I meet somebody really cool? I'm like, oh, it doesn't really fit into my podcast. So I just have whoever I would like on that I think is cool.
Yeah, my first thought when you asked me to be on, because I was really impressed at how far out you have guests. But so that was a long time ago. So my podcast was actually really, really new. And I'm like, wow, I went from trying to share like some guy who knew Elvis and became a preacher to next in line after Mothman. That's right where I fell into.
No, I love, you know what? So I can kind of get a feel, you know, if I want to have a person on the show or not. And I just knew right away, I don't know the title of it, Becoming Outlaws. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm kind of not really into rules. I'm somewhat of a rule breaker. So I thought, okay, he likes the paranormal. And that brings me to my question is, what made you, well, obviously, because of the very interesting stories that people have regarding religion and spirituality, but did you have any sort of paranormal experience when you were a young person growing up?
Yeah, but let me frame it in this way. So I use the word paranormal, which isn't usually used, let's say, in church circles.
No.
So the subtitle of the podcast, the niche of it is about 3/4 of Americans believe in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. And I don't have like the world, but most of the world would be way higher than that. We're like the only ones that are too educated to think something's going on out there. you know, but people have been worshiping or involved or trying to appease spirits, you know, around the world since humanity began.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of years. Yes.
Yeah. So either man has a screw loose is just a part of our nature through history, or something's going on, and why not talk about it, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, the niche, though, is 3/4 of Americans believe in the supernatural or the paranormal, but that number excludes, like what I was talking about, people having an encounter with God. So the paranormal is usually UFOs. It's
right.
Moth,
ghosts,
the psychic activity, and medium, and ghosts, and things like that. I grew up in church. I probably have an irrational love, all things biblical, scriptural. I don't have a memory of not reading the Bible and books that go along with the Bible, like full encyclopedias from A to Z of everything. And what that means, not only the content, but the countries they happened in, the culture and the times they were written in, and the whole context. It's just been a part of who I am as long as I can remember. And then it wasn't just, I was never into religion. And that, to me, that's like a created thing, because I always felt this is real. Paranormal and then thinking God is real seems to be two separate camps. So what I'm trying to do is, there's whole genres, I call it the Christian culture, that they write their, they write Christian books, which is great. I just had an amazing woman on yesterday. She went 25 books. We talked about Christmas. But what we talked about was each character in the Christmas story had a divine encounter. that's what Christmas is about. Like, they all have these supernatural experiences. We have a cute nativity scene, but if you take each one of them out, they all would have a story to tell. And so we talked about that. But God is paranormal. So, I mean, Bible says of itself that God is a spirit. Well, that's paranormal. Scripture says of itself that it's alive and active and can penetrate people's hearts, minds, and souls. And it's like, what? So even the words in it, if you want to talk about like witchcraft and summoning up through some kind of conjuring of words and chants, scripture says, well, what is it? Is it the words, or it's the activity it invites, right? These forces. Scripture is saying the same thing. It's saying these words are alive and active, and here's what they do. And from the very first four words in this old book, in the beginning, God, well, in the beginning was the spirit. Whether you believe it or not, from beginning to end, that, well, there's 66 books together, right? Canon of scripture is the most paranormal, riddled stories ever written or comprised. And if you add to that or have any ounce of belief that that could be true or God inspired, that's where, to me, the fascination is coming in my whole life, is like, is this really an old book that grandma has and it's some boring religion and it's just rules? Or is this a supernatural being that is through thousands of years delivered a message through different times, wherever it's all come together in this thing, and it tells you what's going on, or is as much we need to know with dark forces and the dark forces that can trick you, and how not to be tricked.
Oh, yeah.
And how to look for them. It's all there. And then everything I hear about falls into those things. They talk about mediums. There's stories of mediums in the Bible. There's
a lot of people that believe that, you know, medium and getting into that sort of thing is sort of like, you know, the trickster element or devil worshiping or whatever. And I just, of course, you can take it to a really bad place, of course, but I don't feel that way. To be really in touch with yourself, like everybody has energy, right? Everybody does. And you know, you have a soul, you have, you know, within you if something's not right and if something's good or bad. And I think it really would help people if you kept in touch with that more and not ignore that, your intuition. The sharper your intuition, I think the better life will be. And there's like signs everywhere, you know, if you're open to that. But I feel like today, in today's world, modern technology and things, and, you know, everyone's busy with their jobs and families and everything else, and everything is getting to be, it's like doing away with logical things. It's like you press a button because you don't want to use your hand. I mean, with everything, it's getting to the point where, yes, technology is good, but at what point, when is it going to stop? Put the phone down. And I'm guilty of this. And put, you know, some of the technology down. Go for a walk out in the woods. Look around you. Take a deep breath. I mean, there are signs. And I don't know, people have gotten a little bit lost along the way trying to find themselves, and they're trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah. It's funny you say, you know, go take a walk and you see signs and things. You know, in scripture, it says God reveals himself in two ways. One, through what would be called his word, or through scripture. You learn about God through scripture. The other is nature.
Mm-hmm. I like more the nature. The scripture part, I don't know. To be very honest, yeah, I don't know all that much about the Bible. I mean, I know the obvious stories, but I just feel like people get so, this is how I'm taking it, and this is the right way, and you can't think any otherwise, because if you do, you're bad, or that's not the right way. And I don't know. I think it's up to interpretation, to be honest with you. Some things, it just depends. And it just seems like it causes so much anxiety and things. And I don't know.
Well, it's been used to be probably the most divisive thing.
Yes.
Man's ever gotten their hands on.
Yeah.
But think about it. Is there a reason for that? It's still the bestseller ever. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would say is anything in man's hands, no two people are going to agree on anything.
No, right.
But I have this, and you may not agree with this, but this is my thought, is if this is divinely inspired, I'm convinced it is. And not just because someone told me it was. Yes, I've had spiritual experiences because of it, but there's also enough study into it that it just couldn't be written by human intellect.
Yeah, but right.
Let me go on to say that if it were true and it's divinely inspired, what it says of itself is that God's wanting a one-on-one relationship with people. Mm-hmm. And then if done properly, that you wouldn't even need people to teach you, because God, or what would say the Holy Spirit, is a teacher and can guide people. So like in the psychic world or spirit mediums and things, mm-hmm. where they believe they have a spirit guide helping and guiding them, sure. and even writing books for them through them and all this kind of thing. Well, the Bible's supposed to be that. The Holy Spirit had worked through men to write these words. And
yes.
The Holy Spirit will direct and teach you what these words mean. Where it gets corrupted is when other men are trying to teach you what
the interpretation.
These words
mean. Right. I agree. I agree.
Yeah. So if people, I believe if every human being, the 7 billion on the planet or whatever, were to be alone in a room and honestly asked God, the one question a lot of people ask on my podcast or in their story is, are you real? Mm-hmm. Or is this just a religion trying to make me live a moral code or whatever? Mm-hmm. Are you real? Is this real? And what does it mean what I'm reading? Mm-hmm. If that happened, I believe, and I think scripture would back up, because it's just the Holy Spirit teaching a human spirit what this stuff means. It would all come out with the exact same information. Mm-hmm. It's people's egos. It's their traditions.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on that divides. And then you could shrug your shoulders and say, well, then who cares? Because it's just complicated. There's too many. People have messed it up too much. I just figure stuff out on my own. Well, we all live and die, turn to dust, and billions of people have tried to figure stuff out on their own. So to me, my advice to people is just, you don't have to like be a scholar and learn stuff, but you know, like just ask those simple questions, spend that little time. I mean, what if it was true? Because if it is true, there's eternal consequences. Mm-hmm. And what you'll find, and I think you already know, is that it doesn't exclude like, well, if I believe the Bible, I don't believe all these other paranormal stuff. It's saying all the paranormal stuff is true.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's either or. I think it goes hand in hand.
And the book itself is paranormal. God's paranormal.
Yes.
And so what you'll find in my podcast, basically, I talked yesterday.
You've had some cool people on your podcast. You've had some really cool people. Because I wanted to mention that you had, I think it's fabulous that you had her on, Amy Scobie, who was, she was like, what, in charge of Scientology, in charge of getting, recruiting people.
Center.
Yeah. I mean, that whole thing. Oh, my gosh.
So she was in Scientology 27 years.
Yeah.
She was pretty much raised in it. She was in that organization that they signed a billion-year contract.
Yeah.
A billion years. So when the billion years is over, you're out. I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what you'd do after that.
I don't know.
Sign
either.
Another one.
Probably be tired. Take a long nap.
Retire. Yeah. So, and then she worked her way up to working with the other executives. She was a main executive of the entire organization, which is a multi-billion dollar organization.
Tax exempt organization. Yep. They have money up the wazoo.
Yeah. And you really can't leave at that level. Mm-hmm. And she ran the Celebrity Center. So she was in charge of ordering and hiring all of like Tom Cruise's people that, you know, they supply him.
I remember seeing her on Leah Remini's show. And
she was in the first episode. about.
Yeah, talking about Tom Cruise, and I thought, oh gosh.
Some of that came inspired Leah Remini, as I understand it, to put that together after Amy had come out with the book Abuse at the Top.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was super brave. I mean, yeah. Her book was called Scientology Abuse at the Top, and it shows David the president, David mm-hmm. Miscavige, choking another executive. Mm-hmm. That's the cover of her book. And wow. If anyone knows anything about Scientology, that doesn't go well. I mean, they can hurt you financially by mm-hmm. they have endless money for lawsuits. They harass you. People don't. I mean, it's rumored that they got the tax exemption because the IRS individually were scared of them. The hassle of their families and their kids. You know,
that's what I read. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we better go to a different topic. yeah. So no, I want to check out that episode that you had of her on there. That sounds so fascinating. And you also had John Schneider on, and I remember him in the Dukes of Hazzard. And yeah, he talked about his divine encounter and how that he had a movie come out too. It was called To Die For, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, that's his latest. That's what we talked about. He has a, I don't know, like a 63 or something acre ranch. I think it's in,
wow.
He moved out of California years ago, and I think it's Louisiana. I don't know, but he has his yeah. own ranch and recording studio there, and he just records whatever he wants. That one cool. happened to be a patriotic movie. He does primarily faith-based movies okay. these days.
Nice.
And yeah, one of my nephews, he said, he was at my son's birthday party, and he goes, hey, I had like a picture that was coming up.
Yeah.
I saw you're having the dad of Superman on from Smallville. That's what I told John Schneider. I said, you know, to a lot of people, they don't know you're a writer. You know,
yeah.
he's had 25 country albums with five
really?
Number one.
I didn't yeah. know that. Oh, wow. Huh.
This guy is everything. Yeah, like in the 80s.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know if you know Keith Whitley. He died a long time ago, but he's a old time. He's not old time. He was like 80s, but it was a country music guy I really like. I said,
yeah, I've heard his name. Yeah.
To John Schneider, I said, I really like your style. Your voice is like Keith Whitley. And he's like, oh, he recorded one of my songs. This guy is a real
wow.
country guy.
Yeah.
Writer and singer. And I almost feel bad. That's totally under the radar. But
yeah,
I said, you know, I said, my nephew only knows you as Smallville's Superman dad. He's like, that's okay.
Oh, God. I feel my age. I just remember him out of that car, getting in the Dukes of Hazzard car.
Yeah,
oh, my
and
gosh.
And it's really interesting. He talks about he came to faith by living with Johnny Cash.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I got to have him on my show. Maybe you can help me with that.
Yeah, I can help him.
I would love that. I would love it. All right. Well, gosh, I could sit here and talk to you all day about these very interesting stories in your podcast. But yeah, why don't you let people know, give yourself a plug, where people could find you and or even if they want to come on your show.
Yeah. The easiest is just giving a website, I guess, because you can okay. branch off from there.
Sure.
So it's at comingoutlaws.com. Pretty easy. And I put all the videos there. And, you know, there's the about information and the links to, if you like you, it's on probably every major
yeah.
podcast platform. Yep. I throw them on YouTube because they're video. And
sure.
I've been hanging out a lot on Spotify because Spotify now has video as well.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to branch out to video. For now, it's just audio broadcast, but then I would have to edit the
work.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But you can do what I do as far as like, I just throw a trucker hat on. Done.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about outfits or look.
Right, I just have
a different trucker hat on all the time.
Okay. Yeah, well, that'd work for you. I don't know. I have to spend hours in the makeup on.
Right.
I don't know. Well, it's been so much fun having you on, Ken. I'd love to have you on again if you would like to come on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. You have a good rest of the week and take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, thank you for listening, and I'm so glad you're here. I had so much fun and hope you enjoyed this episode. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to my website, ajuicypearpodcast.com. See you there. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy, and you just listened to another episode of A Juicy Pear Podcast. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And I would love it if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Each week, I have new content, and I love talking with creatives. Tell your friends and family. And if you're feeling led, hey, you can buy me a coffee on ajuicypearpodcast.com.